You are listening to Ron Van Dam, a man who sold his soul for fame and fortune and didn't keep the receipt. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
All right, all right, all right. Settle down, settle down. Oh, good. How you doing today? Happy Monday to you. Is that what day it is? Whatever. I know it begins with an M. That's all I know. Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the aforementioned title. Thanks for coming. Take your shoes off. Unless you're driving, that's not good. Relax, I'll take it from here. Leave the driving to me. I am a horrible passenger. I cannot. I'm not a control freak per se. I like to drive because I do like to be in control. If there's something moving, I like to be in control of it. Call me crazy, but I don't put my fate in somebody else's hands all that much, no matter who it is. So when I'm sitting in a passenger seat in a car, my foot hits the brakes that don't exist on that side. I'm like a driving instructor on coke. I mean, I can't. So I tend not to be in the passenger seat, at least not in the prone position. I'm usually in the fetal position there, like a fetus, like a virgin. That was Madonna. Can I get you something? You thirsty? Well, I don't know stuff in your refrigerator. Get it yourself. You want a sandwich? Get me one while you're at it, will you please? Thank you so much. All right, I've wasted enough of your time. Actually, I haven't, so we'll continue. How you doing? Welcome to the program. I can't help it. I can't help it. I have to say this, and then I'll get on with the comedy stuff. I have to say this, man. I am so disappointed in this country. Florida, like, what the hell's going on with you, Florida? You know, open everything up and let people run around without masks on, and this is what happens. Now the hospitals are becoming overcrowded. This is more of a crisis than we had in the beginning. We had this thing under control, and then the American stupid people fucked it up. I'm sorry. And some of these governors are, yeah, open everything up. I don't care. Come on. Sex in the streets. I don't give a crap anymore. Nice. Thank you very much. Some states are doing very, very well. New York City reporting no deaths from the virus. What? Connecticut reporting no deaths from the virus. Massachusetts, 15. I mean, seriously, what's going on with the South? What's wrong with you? You know what it is? It's people. Here's what the president needs to do if he were a leader at all. He needs to say, all right, enough of this crap here. This is serious stuff. We're going the wrong direction fast. This is serious. We don't have stuff. We don't have stuff in hospitals. I mean, this is serious. You got to wear a mask. Yeah, you got. If you're in your house, you don't have to. If you're outside and you're like at least 6 feet away from people, I guess you don't have to. But it's a good idea to do it. But if you're in close proximity with somebody or you're passing somebody in the opposite direction, you got to have a mask on. You just got to. If you go into a store or any interior public place, you've got to have a mask on. You've got to. Otherwise, a store can throw you out for trespassing. Hey, you know, we need to do it. You know why? Because there are stupid people in this country who just can't put two and two together. Oh, I feel fine. Oh, you selfish prick. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you at the beginning of the show to get the kids out of the room. I tend to, I don't curse, but I tend to be caustic sometimes. And I have to be a little bit more careful. So kids, get out of the room now. I will scare you out of the room. There you go. Oh, those kids went running, huh? Yeah, well, I'll be done soon, so just, it's all right. I'm starting to show up. I'm on radio stations besides the internet of highways. And now I'm starting to appear on television sets through iHeartRadio and all that stuff and TuneIn Radio and Spotify. But now I'm an actual full show. They're airing my full show on television, the audio from it, on the regular channels. So I have to be a little bit careful. I was listening to one of my shows on a television station. They were just playing the audio on it. And I couldn't believe that they were airing it. I said some stuff that was kind of bizarre and a little bit edgy, and I couldn't believe it. So I got to be a little bit careful. Sorry. Kids out of the room nonetheless. I don't want them in here. Hey, I don't care if I was being nice. I still don't want them in the room. This is our time. It's our time. If you're a college student, you're not a kid anymore. You got two legs. You got a brain, supposedly. You're even trying to educate it further. So, you know, we're on the same level. But the kids, no. Sorry. Your privileges have not arrived yet. Goodbye. Okay. Anyway, hi. Where do we go from here, huh? Where do we go from here? I really don't know. I really, really don't know. Well, it's time for you to shut up and for me to talk. And here we go. Every once in a while, I like to go back in time to a better day, to a better time, to when I was just a child. Don't we like to do that? Do you find comfort in going back to your childhood unless you were beaten and abused? Then it doesn't work. But if you had an okay childhood where you didn't have to pay for anything, your parents fed you, they watched over you, you didn't have to buy anything, you didn't have to make any decisions, they're all made for you. Man, when you got up in the morning, your clothes were laid out for you on a chair next to your bed. Holy crap. Ronnie, time to brush your teeth. Ronnie, time to take a shower. I didn't have to decide anything. It was, I was under total control. And those are comfortable times, not great, but comfortable times, because you didn't have to figure things out. You were waiting for the year that you could be on your own, you know, 18, 21, whatever. But you were just pining for those. Oh, I can't wait till I can drive. I can't wait till I can drink. I can't wait till I can live on my own. Make my own decisions. Do my own things. Go, come and go when I want to. Stay out as late as I want. Go to bed as early as I want. Take a shower when I want. Which wouldn't be all as frequently as it is now, I said as a child. And I waited for those days to come. And they came. And they were exciting for a couple of hours. And then the realization hit the fan. I changed that around a little bit. The realization was, uh-oh, now I got to pay for everything myself. I got to get a job. And now I have to juggle my finances in order to eat. And I have to live somewhere and put up with other people. And, oh my God, this isn't as much fun as I thought, except for the drinking part. It's not as much fun as I thought it was. That's what happens. I had a good relationship with my father on a very acquaintance level. We knew each other. I'll put it to you that way. And I remember my father sitting on the couch in the living room. We had a little TV in the living room. When I was growing up, they didn't have big TVs. They were not invented yet. They were little TVs, fairly little compared to what you have, probably. And the TV had a knob on it. Yeah, that's how old I am. I mean, granted, I was, you know, the TV had a knob on it. And there was no such thing as remote control. There really wasn't. If you wanted to change something, you had to get up off your ass and change it yourself. If you wanted to turn the light on, you didn't hit a button. Nothing dimmed. The channel on the TV didn't change at the push of a button, or the volume didn't go up or down at the push of a button. There was no such thing. They didn't even have remote control garage door openers. I think, if I recall, you had to get out of your car, walk over to the garage door, pull it up with your bad back, and then drive the car in and get out of the car and walk over and push the garage door closed from above. What a pain in the ass. But we weren't obese back then. The kids were. But the adults, really, for the most part, weren't all that obese because they had to get up and do everything. There was nothing automatic, really, at all. I've told you this story before. When I mowed the lawn, it was a push mower. It wasn't even a gas mower. No, it wasn't. That's because my parents were cheap, not because they weren't invented yet. They were just cheap. But push mowers were still a thing. They were a thing. But it was the TV that my life direction was. I always wanted to be in TV, watch TV, be near a TV, TV. And then when I got older, I was actually on the TV, not standing on it, but, you know, on shows. And I liked radio and TV, and that's what I went to school for in college and stuff like that. So I was into the TV. But I never really watched one channel, and my father used to, he was always angry at me for this one thing. He would sit on the couch, and he'd be reading his paper or something or picking his nose, whatever the hell he did. I never turned around to watch. And I'd be watching something, I wanted to change the channel, and you have to get up off your ass and walk over to the television set and turn the knob to the next channel. If you were watching channel 2 and you wanted to get to channel 7, this is what you had to do. You grab the knob and you turn the knob from 2 to 3, boom. And then from 3 to 4, boom. And 4 to 5, boom. And 5 to 6, boom. And 6 to 7, boom. So to change from channel 2 to channel 7, it sounded like this as you turn the knob. Boom, 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 boom. And my father would look up all the time and say, "You're going to break the knob." He got so angry with me. He said, "You're going to break the TV and you're going to break the knob." I said, "No, Dad, it's the only way you can get from 2 to 7 is to turn the knob." And I'm talking to millennials. Talking to millennials and newer. Because you didn't know this, did you? You heard about it, but you didn't know. It's like dinosaurs. I heard about dinosaurs, but I don't know how they existed or what they did. I heard about them. Well, yeah, this is before remote controls. This is before civilization. One day, I was watching a television by myself in the living room. My father was probably out having an affair with another woman. I don't know where the hell he was. And I was watching TV, and I was watching Channel 5, and I wanted to go to Channel 10. By the way, back then, there weren't a lot of channels. There was no cable. Everything was on an antenna. If you wanted to get good reception on a particular channel, you had to put aluminum foil on your head and run out to the yard and recite the alphabet backwards with a wire connected to you. I mean, it was a whole ritual to get the channel in properly. Most houses had antennas on the roof. It's just stupid looking, but it worked pretty good. No matter what kind of antenna you had, the signal was always crappy. So anyway, so I'm watching the channel, and I wanted to. So I start. I get up from the TV. I'm going to go channel 5. I'm going to go channel 10. It's 5 clicks away. 5 clicks away. In the back of my mind, my father is like fictitiously sitting on the couch, saying, "You're going to break the knob, you're going to break the knob." So I started turning from 5 to 10. Boom, 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 boom. And then when I was about to hit 10, I was on 9. And when I was about to hit 10, I heard a little click and a little crack. And I thought, no, oh, no, no, oh, no. and I went to turn the knob further to 10, and the knob wouldn't move. It broke off in my hand. I broke the knob. My father spent his entire life warning me not to break the knob. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault. It was knob turning over the years. Eventually, there's no knob that can put up with that kind of abuse. I know it's knob abuse. The knob broke off in my hand, and my mother was in the kitchen. She was always in the kitchen, and I don't know why. I don't know why. And I ran into the kitchen with the knob in my hand. I said, Mom, the knob broke off on the TV. And she looked at me and probably had a glass in her hand and dropped it. I don't know. Maybe I'm being melodramatic. But, she I was, oh, my God. When your father gets home from having the affair with the other woman, he's going to be so upset. Oh, no. Now, back then, they sold knobs in stores. I didn't know that as a kid. I didn't know you could buy a television knob in a store, but you could. My thought was that the entire television now is no good. That or I got to watch one channel for the rest of my life with my father looming over me, seething in anger. Saying things like, if you had to break the knob off, did it have to be on Channel 9? Oh, God, you little kid bastard. You ruined my life. Well, my father came home, saw the knob broken, looked at me and said, now, these knobs don't last forever, son. But I warned you, didn't I?
I know, Dad. I know, Dad.
Well, it could have broken off in my hand, too, I guess, so. I'll go down to the store in a few days and get a new knob.
Will you do it?
Yes, I will. In the meantime, I got to go down the basement and get a pair of pliers.
Why, Dad? You're gonna pull my teeth out one by one?
No, I'm not going to pull your teeth out one by one. I'm going to do it all at once. Now I'm going to get the pliers. The only way to change the channel now is to put the pliers on the little stem sticking out of the channel selector knob thing. We got to change channels by taking the pliers and moving the stem. Oh, my God. Well, that night, we didn't change channels all that much. We kind of got used to whatever channel it was stuck on. But that's my remote control story, man. I can't believe. See, here's the funny thing. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Here's the funny thing about all of this, and here's the lesson that's learned, and here's the point of the story, like there is one. You only know what you know. You only know what you know. You only miss what you had. That's true. Now, Here's how I put this, man. If you don't have a lot of money and you don't live in a mansion, which is all of us, maybe you're living in the slum or in a place that you really don't want to be at, but that's all you can afford. And maybe you're not eating the best foods in the world, but the point is, if you're brought up that way, that's your comfort. That's all you know. You're not happy with it. But you don't miss the finer things because you never had the finer things. The only way you know about the finer things is watching television with people that have the finer things. But you only know what you know. You only have what you have. And that's your base. That's your control. It's a lesson that is learned. Now, of course, there's remote control everything. I don't even have sex with my girl anymore. I just press a button and she has an orgasm. It's really quite simple. I don't have to go to all the effort. And vice versa. Remote controls are incredible. They're on everything. I have a fan in my bedroom. It's a pedestal fan. Even that is archaic now with the invention of central air conditioning, but I have a fan in my room for extra air movement, I call it. EAM, extra air movement. But I don't have to get up to turn the fan on or fan off. I have remote control for the fan.
And sometimes I'll just use the fan because I can, because I have a remote control for. I have a remote control for a lot of things. I literally don't have to get up and do anything ever. All I have to do is push buttons. I have an Alexa in my house. Do you? It's not a car. It's a little device by Amazon. You're familiar with it, aren't you? And you talk into this little cylinder, and it does your bidding. It'll play music for you, any song you want, any station you want, any artist you want. It'll tell you the weather, the time. It'll turn on TVs. It'll change the channel. It'll turn on lights. It'll make phone calls for you. It'll do just about everything. And all you got to do is tell the little cylinder what you want. It's a far cry from getting up off the couch and changing the channel yourself. Those are days I don't wish to go back to. Why? Because now I have a remote. Now I've been ruined for life. Yeah, I've been ruined for life. You see, you can't go backwards. It's like Pandora's box. I have a joke there, but I'm not going to do it. It's like Pandora's box. Once you open it up, you can't put the stuff back in. It's like a tube of toothpaste. Have you heard this analogy? You can't put the toothpaste back into the tube. It's true. It's literally impossible. It's physically impossible. Once you've opened up that tube of toothpaste, man, and you've squirted out a little, so you better put it on your teeth because you can't get it back in the tube. And that's the problem. That's the problem. All right. All right. My guest is going to join us momentarily. I feel like I'm doing a show for millennials eternally, having to explain the way things were. Sometimes I meet seniors who actually say, Rod, I hear you, man. I wish you'd be talking about that stuff more. It kind of reminds us of how technology and how life and social stuff has brought us to another point. I mean, I hear you, Ron. I hear you. And I thought, great, I'm connecting to a segment of the population who already knows what I'm talking about. But it's my job to educate those that have no freaking idea what I'm talking about. And that could be anybody. All right. All right. What do you want, an award for listening to this show? Is that what you want? What do you want, a gold star in your forehead? What do you want? What do you want from me?
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Okay, well, this show is bizarre, obviously, it always is. We go from this thing to that thing. Ron, how do you segue into talking about abortion? Well, I don't think you do. So let's just talk to our guest. Ariako Njoku joins us now. She is national expert on abortion access and executive director of Access Reproductive Care Southeast. And we're talking about the recent Supreme Court decision that strikes down abortion restrictions. There are a lot of cases all of a sudden that have cropped up to the Supreme Court and to state courts involving this subject matter. Kind of was dormant for a while as far as the news was concerned. First of all, thank you for being with us. Why all of a sudden are these things being tested?
Well, that is such an interesting take on it because, you know, working in the South, doing this work for the last 5 years with Access Reproductive Care Southeast, This has been going on every single year since I've been doing this work. This is one of those things where, you know, I feel like ever since 1973, when folks made abortion, you know, the Supreme Court said abortion was legal, every single year there have been attempts to slowly chip away at our ability to access basic health care, which is abortion. And so, to me, this is not something that is new. It's not something that, like, just recently popped up. But I'll say the intensity has definitely felt like it's increased over time, over the last few years as well, too. And this is, you know, just like this targeted attempt to really try to take away our ability to make decisions that we feel like are best for not only ourselves, but our families as well. So, you know, one of the unique things about this particular case is 4 years ago, we were doing the same thing, you know, the case that came out of Texas. So,
right.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's new, but the intensity has definitely increased.
Yeah, well, certainly not to you, because you're on the front lines all the time.
Right.
But as far as the it hitting the news in the country, it almost seems like to me that this particular administration, at their close to 4 year mark, are trying to do everything they can before it all disintegrates and they all are out for looking for other jobs and for prison outfits. So it seems like a last ditch thing. Let's get something through quickly before we're not here anymore. Do you get that impression?
I mean, the sad thing about it is that, you know, they're really trying to use us as, like, these political pawns to make a point.
Right.
And this is one of those moments where it's like, our bodies, our lives, this is not a joke, you know?
Right.
This is not a laughing matter. This is not a chess move. These are actual people's lives, you know? And so just the audacity, you know, to even try to introduce legislation like this. And it's like one of those, like, let's throw spaghetti on the wall and see what sticks.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
They're literally trying everything.
Right.
But little do they know that the folks doing this work are fierce. We are so fierce. And so, you know, we're able to, like, pivot and move and trying to do what we can to not only, like, have these conversations with folks who we're in community with, but, you know, let the larger public know, like, y'all, this is what is going on, you know? And this is the time for us to speak up and speak out against various levels of oppression that are impacting our lives every day, including reproductive oppression coming from folks who are supposed to have our best interests at heart.
Well, I mean, I mean, in my mind, I just can't imagine the American public in majority putting up with this stuff. I guess you can squeeze things through the courts, but then the people would react accordingly. So I'm amazed that we even go in this direction, but whatever. How many states have you, I don't know the exact number, but I guess with what you do, you're seeing this on a state by state, basis. Why would the Supreme Court take something up that is on a state level?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, for sure. So, you know, I can't speak to why they choose what cases they choose. But I definitely know that, you know, after the legality around Roe was introduced, like, folks, and it's, like, really up to the states to enforce it. And so that's what's been going on in a lot of the states where, you know, we see different laws. It depends on where you are, too, you know.
Right.
Being in the South with our culture productive care Southeast, the work that we do is focused in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, South Carolina, and Tennessee. And so something I like to say is, like, we're not in one of these, like, the land of unicorns and possibilities, like on the West Coast where there's Medicaid expansion and there's, you know, abortions are paid for by the state and all of these things. Like, we live in this particular environment, and it's been consistently hostile, whether it's, you know, combating systemic anti-blackness and racism versus our bodily autonomy. Like, these are things that we've been fighting, you know, and trying to, like, shift for years. So the reason that they would go into the states, I mean, I feel like a lot of this is trying to be enforced by states.
Right.
And every state has a different way of viewing these issues.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I, I'm surprised that under the circumstances with the COVID thing and the inequality that's been demonstrated through protests and through incidents that spawned the protests, and how certain people live in such such an unequal environment where they can get sicker. I don't understand why they even go there, to be honest with you, where there's so many other issues that America is waking up to. And like you say, they're just trying to throw it around to see and see what sticks. I don't think anything's sticking,
yeah.
But I know that's what I get from all of it. Yeah.
We're hoping that it doesn't stick. And yeah. I mean, that's the reality, is that, you know, we can, a lot of power is given to the courts, a lot of power is given to power systems, but the reality is that they actually don't decide our destiny, you know? Right. When folks show up, when we vote, when we use our voice, when we are fully informed and have access to all the things that we need to make informed decisions, I mean, now that people are really starting to hear about a lot of these issues, this is the reaction. We have these uprisings. We have people recognizing that, you know, systemic anti-blackness in healthcare results in, you know, black and brown folks being the ones who are dying at dramatically high rates because of COVID.
Right.
We see the impact of police brutality. We see what happens when people, when we don't expand Medicaid. Like, that's what happens in, like, the six states that we work in.
Right.
In the South, we see what has happened with that and how that has impacted, you know, our ability to have families, our ability to thrive in our communities. And that is one of the basic tenets of reproductive justice, is that we want to be able to live in communities that are safe, where are and safe and sustainable, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the way you put it.
And when people start hearing about that.
Yeah, I mean, the way
I'm
saying, the way you put it, it all falls under the same category. Everything does. A lot of people were surprised by the Supreme Court decision because it's so heavily Trump appointed, that this decision actually came out against what Trump was touting. I guess it was a little bit of a smile in the corner of the mouth for for those that thought that this court has now been slided in the wrong way. Maybe not. Maybe they do think fairly here and there.
I mean, you know, this to me was one of those, like, thanks for doing your job, friends, you know, because
yeah,
this is exactly
right.
What they were supposed to do. Is
exactly.
That has been stated, you know.
It's not, it's not supposed to be.
Time,
yeah, no, you're right. It's not supposed to be political. It's supposed. All right.
Yeah.
We're running short of time. They've told me that I don't have too much time with you, although I could go on for much longer. Where can we get more information or indeed support?
Yes, well, I mean, one of the things as far as support is the folks in Louisiana who've been hustling so hard to even bring this case visible. There are groups like Women with a Vision based in New Orleans, or the New Orleans Abortion Fund, who has, you know, even when the case was going on and being fought in the courts, they were doing everything that they could to make sure that people actually could still access abortion care no matter what.
Right.
And so if you're wanting to support folks in Louisiana, those are two groups. Otherwise, abortion funds across the country are doing everything that they can to eliminate barriers to abortion access. ARC Southeast is one of those abortion funds, based in Atlanta, Georgia, but working in six different states in the South. So if you go on the abortion funds website, folks can definitely see abortion funds in their own specific cities. And then also doing a little work to be like, who are the independent clinics in your communities? One of the beautiful things was all of the clinics who brought this case forward, they were independent abortion providers. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of folks think that maybe it's just Planned Parenthood out here doing abortions, but there's so many community-based abortion providers that do a majority of the abortions in this country. So there are lots of ways that people can plug in and support, but those are a few.
Very good. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, and thank you for doing what you do. We all appreciate it.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you.
You take care.
Well, there you have it. That'll do it for me today. Thank you so much for being here. I'll be back again tomorrow, by the way. Ooh, that's interesting information. With a brand new show. Until then, well, wear a mask, please, and I wish you peace.